Welcome to A Journey of Transformation Empowerment. You're listening to Antonio T. Smith, Jr., where ideas ignite, change, and possibilities are endless. Before we dive into today's episode, we have something special for our listeners. Today's podcast is brought to you by a groundbreaking book that's reshaping the conversation around Black economic empowerment. It's Resegregation, Volume 1,
The Power Matrix,
a master plan for Black group economics with wealth creation, authored by visionary Antonio T. Smith, Jr. Antonio isn't just an author. He's a former top-secret combat special operations intelligence sergeant turned millionaire. His life work championed the economic autonomy and wealth creation within Black communities. In this seminal work, dedicated to teachings of Dr. Claude Anderson, Antonio outlines a comprehensive blueprint covering critical sectors like finance, technology, manufacturing, and more. He blends military discipline with acute understanding of systematic disparity. This isn't just a book. It's a movement, a call to action to create lasting wealth and reshaping the economic narrative. Antonio's vision is clear: drive a significant shift toward Black ownership and control. Listeners, if you've ever wondered about innovative strategies for wealth creation or how technological transformation can uplift the Black communities, then this book is for you. Join Antonio Smith, Jr. on the transformative journey. Pick up your copy of the Resegregation Volume 1, The Power Matrix, today, and be a part of the reshaping future. Now, let's dive into the episode and explore the possibilities that await us.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Episode is brought to you by
Listen to Paul's Impact, Houston's first radio show dedicated to people living with HIV, their friends and family, every Monday from 7:30 to 9:30 Central Standard Time on Real Talk 100 Radio. You can also find us on all social media under Paul's Impact. That's P-O-Z-I-M-P-A-C-T. And if you happen to miss our show, follow and subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can catch the latest episodes of Paul's Impact.
Hey, everybody. Guess what? I'm disrupting the network marketing, or also known as the multi-level marketing industry as well. ATS Network. It is the brand newest multi-level marketing company that's getting so much media attention and breaking records all over the world. Why? I'll give you 6 reasons why. For one, it's free to join. That's right. If you want to make money with us, you don't have to pay a dime to join us. Number 2, there's no auto ship. That means there's nothing that I'm charging you, and there's also no customer volume requirement. That means you don't have to order $199 worth of a product to get this, whatever, right? If you want all your residual income, it costs you nothing per month, whether it be auto ship or customer volume requirements for you to get in here. Number 3, you don't have to pay monthly for your website. That's right. No $24.95 a month or all this stuff like that. Number 4, there's no obligation or any incentive for you to recruit anyone. Now, I probably should have led with that. Let me say that again. I have the only network marketing company in the world in which you don't have to go out and get three to get three, get three, get three, and all that stuff like that. No recruitment whatsoever. Your mom, your grandmother, or the lady next door can do this. Number five, you never have to get promoted or recruit anyone to get the highest level of residual income. Since I don't have distributors and since I don't require you to recruit anyone, guess what? The moment you come in, you can get top level residual income. And finally, you only have to be an active customer to make money with the company. Check out the show notes. Probably the first link, Antonio T. Smith Jr. If you want to be one of the 100,000 millionaires that I want to create, this is where you should be. ATS Network. Link is in the show notes. Love you. You can plant better. You can dominate. Welcome to the Secret to Success podcast. My entire goal with this podcast is to give you value. That is it. I'm not interested in you buying from me. If you want to, you can, but that is not the goal. Same platform, just a different class. Maurice, unmute your mic, my man.
Yes, yes.
Real estate time, brother. Real estate time. We might go a tad bit over, but real estate time. Okay.
That's okay.
Yes. All right. Maurice, ATS Real Estate. How many of y'all excited about real estate? Yes. How many of y'all want to be in real estate? Like, you ain't going to be able to be quiet here. If you ain't about making this money, you in the wrong place, because Adonia is fit to buy some apartment complexes out there and have $1 million cash flow coming real soon. And she going to donate to y'all a few times, but it's going to be her customers' rent money donate. You understand?
Making money while she's sleeping.
That's it. Who wants freedom? If you want freedom, raise your hand. Unmute your mic. Put some noise out there. If you want freedom, come on now. That's it. Woo! As far as I'm concerned, real estate is the only way to get true freedom. Greats, unmute your mic real quick and tell them what I teach around here. What's the only way to get freedom?
Make a whole lot of money so you can unplug from the matrix.
Well, I tell you, life is that simple. I need y'all to hear that. Did y'all hear Grace say it again? They hear you.
Make a whole lot of money so you can unplug from the matrix.
Did you know that when a Jewish parent dies, their kids get $1 million? When my parents die, I'm getting nothing. If something's not in your culture, then you don't even understand what I'm talking about. It is, I mean, you can benefit from whole life insurance while you're living. You can set up policies in which when you die, your children would get $1 million apiece. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Do you remember when you started a small business? It was no small feat. It took a lot of late nights, early mornings, and the occasional all-nighter. Bottom line, You've been insanely busy ever since. So why not make things a little easier? Well, our friends at FreshBooks have the solution. FreshBooks invoicing and accounting software is designed specifically for small business owners. It's simple, intuitive, and keeps you way more organized than a dusty shoebox filled with crumpled receipts. Create and send professional-looking invoices in 30 seconds and then get them paid 2 times faster with automated online payments. File expenses even quicker and keep them perfectly organized for tax time. And the best part? FreshBooks grows alongside your business, so you'll always have the tools you need when you need them without ever having to learn the ins and outs of accounting. Join the 24 million people who've used FreshBooks. Try it free for 30 days, no catch, and no credit card required. Go to freshbooks.com/B2B and enter B2B to A2Z in the "How did you hear about us?" section to get started.
And one of the most fantastic ways to pull that off is real estate. Let's talk. We're gonna progressively take you out through real estate. We're gonna start from the beginning, and we're never going back to the beginning once we get from the beginning, okay? Let's see. Maurice, I'm gonna let you start off.
Okay.
What would you say they don't know real estate? Okay, now they probably do, but we're gonna start from the beginning, but we're gonna make, this is gonna be beginning advanced at the same time. We're gonna mix them all together. Gotcha. What's the first things you think they need to do? And sorry, me and Maurice are gonna give you, the reason I picked him, we're gonna give you the same opinions and we're gonna give you clashing opinions at the same time. Because at the end of the day, he's an agent and a broker. I'm an investor. We are not the same.
Right.
Okay. No, he's like, no. Okay, we are not the same, and you're going to need both sides to get a full picture. Yes? Yes? Okay. Now, we're not going to disagree with each other. We're going to give you two different sides. Mm-hmm. And a lot of time, I'm going to give you the same side. Everybody got me? All right. Maurice, I wanted you to tell me what's the first thing you need to do to get started in real estate, and I'll tell you. Well, actually, who you want to go first, me or you?
You go first.
Okay. I'm going to give you the first thing you need to do to get started in real estate. Everybody ready? Yep. Mentor. I'd say a mentor. What would you say first, Maurice, from an agent, you know, your perspective?
I would say identify with an industry expert that whatever your target is. So if you're targeting investment property, identify with that industry expert that either has investment experience, invest in themselves, and identify with him.
Good stuff. Hey, mm-hmm. Catherine, okay, got your message. We'll see you later. Appreciate you. Appreciate that she's out there in Europe.
Now, yeah, all the best. Yeah, bye-bye. See you on the first thing. Bye.
Okay, thank you. Let's see.
Yeah. Wanted to identify, just define real estate that is at first, you know,
let's
define
do it.
Real estate. And it has to do with, just the dictionary is, it says property in buildings and land. And then the real estate diction, in the school's term and definition is defined as a bundle of rights, right? You have the right to a possession, the right of the use of the property, the right to enjoy it, the right to exclusion, and the right of disposition in the alienation. That's all I wanted to just to get that definition out.
No, we need all that. Yeah. We need all that. Good. So we both picked the first thing you get started in real estate. That's a mentor, intellectual expert in the industry is what he said. Mentor is what I said. Same thing. We agree. We're probably going to say two different things here next, but they won't be in disagreement. They'll just be two different things. Here we go. Now that you got that step, my question to you is, we'll let you go first.
Okay.
What should be the first thing that you focus on when you're getting into real estate?
First, to determine if you should buy or rent.
Okay, break that down.
Okay.
That's good.
So what is your situation, job situation, life situation? So if you're looking to purchase a property, is if it's for, you know, to live in or investment, you know, to determine whether or not, you know, look at your job situation. So should you buy or should I rent first? And then, you know, selecting your real estate agent, you know, a professional, you know, and selecting a real estate professional. So,
keep going.
So determine if you should buy or rent, because sometimes it may not be realistic and it may not be in the best interest to at that moment in time. And the reason I'm just an example for that is, let's say if you're renting or you're looking to buy a place to put your business at, and although, you know, it may be a long-term goal to purchase a building or a place where you're going to hold your business, but realistically short-term, I may need the lease for right now until I get to a place where I'm purchasing.
Fantastic. Now let's pause real quick, real here before we get to me. Let's take three questions from the audience in this same level straight to Maurice. Mm-hmm. From your own perspectives, you got your own questions. What do you ask? Like, you want to get started in real estate, or you want to take yourself further in real estate if you're already there? Ask this real estate bro. How many agents you got, man?
Eight.
You got eight agents. How many states do you broker in?
Three currently: New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Working on Michigan, right?
That is clapworthy. All right, good stuff. So now that we've qualified him, he's in three states, working on a fourth one. He's brokering. He's got eight agents working for him full time. Now, all of you, give me three of you who wants to ask a question how you want to get started in real estate. Someone is asking in the chat, I want to buy and sell, but without my money. How can I do that? That's okay. Certainly right up my alley. I'm going to address that too later, okay. But you go ahead.
All right. One of the ways is hard money lenders. There's a hard money lenders there that will finance 100% of the rehab. You can partner with other individuals. You can partner with individuals. When you say you don't want to use your money, when you don't want to use your money, can you clarify that just a little bit? You mean you want to use other people's money? Can you clarify just what that, you know, you don't want to use your money, I mean your own money out of your pocket, can you give me just a little bit more clarity on that?
No doubt. So we'll wait for her to type for more clarity. We'll be other ways while she's typing that, because that's hard money is a fantastic answer. We're going to break down what hard money is after he lists out a few more options.
Yeah.
What other options are you saying? Oh, she said, yes, my own money in my pocket. So she don't want to use the money in her pocket.
Okay, so hard money lenders, you know, there's a myth that, you know, I got into real estate based on watching an infomercial. It was Carlton Sheets. I'm not sure if anybody remember him back in the day. And it was, it was an infomercial on Carlton Sheets, and he suggested there's a number of ways. One, you can get owner financing. Find deals where the owner will finance the deal for you, or a portion of the deal. So if you find someone that has equity in the property and they're willing to hold paper, is what it's called. You know, we could define that later on if we need to, which is where someone is willing to be the bank per se for you. That's one option. A person that may find a property that has equity in it, and a person is willing to hold equity. My first piece of commercial property that I bought, I bought that way. The owner financed a second mortgage on it, because typically with commercial finances, your down payment is much, much higher. Everything commercial is more expensive. Commercial properties, 25% down minimum, at least 20 to 25%, sometimes more, you're gonna put down for commercial properties. I was able to get into that property with 10%, and the owner had financed the second 15%. So came up with 10% of my own money, and he was able to finance the 15% over a 5-year period with a balloon payment. And then after 5 years, I refinanced, paid it off, owned the building, equity in the building, walked away. So that was one way, is owner finance.
Somebody just asked, can you use a credit card for a down payment, et cetera?
So you definitely can. They don't, the down payment is you, where you get it from. It's really your choice, depending on the time. You can. That short answer is yes.
Okay, short answer is yes, absolutely. I'm going to address all these questions, too, from a different perspective. Alicia says, I've been approved for a $200,000 loan. Can I use that possible mortgage loan for not personal, but business, et cetera, commercial unit?
That would be great. When you, well, if it's approved for real estate purchase, that's what you would have to use it for. 99 times out of 10. If it's not a SBA loan or a business loan specifically, you would have to use it for what it's allocated for. If it's a $200 real estate approved loan for real estate, you would have to use it for a mortgage. You said mortgage loan, so it is a mortgage loan. It has to be applied to a mortgage. For a business, et cetera, commercial unit, I don't see why you wouldn't be able to use it for a commercial unit. Yeah. You know, but for business, if you're going to purchase a business, I would say no for that, because if you're going to purchase an actual business, because it's a little bit more involved in, yep, when you're purchasing a business, because there's less collateral, there's less to lean. The property that you're buying becomes the collateral. That's why they're giving you the 200,000. That 200,000, they're going to give you the whole 200,000. A portion of that's going to, depending on what type of loan it is, a portion of that is going to come out of your pocket, and you're going to leverage the property for the rest of it. So that 200,000, let's say for the sake of argument, if it's an FHA approval, and you're bringing 3.5% down to the table, which is your down payment out of your pocket money. The 97.5%, 96.5% that you're going to be financing is going to be from the bank. You know, there's also closing costs. It's going to cost you probably about 9% to get into that.
Got to pay that out of pocket. You can't use that loan for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and they want you to have some skin in the game. So that approval, you know, 9%, give or take, is what's going to cost for you to get into that property. 9%, give or take, you're going to be somewhere around, you know, 3.5% down, you know, your down payment plus closing costs, you know, and inspections and fees and things of that nature. But to the short answer to your question would be, it would have to be used for a mortgage. There's other options that if you're approved for a $200,000 loan, the likelihood of you being able to be approved for a SBA loan is also there as well. So usually the guidelines for SBA loan is not that much different. Although that, you know, if you qualify for a $200,000 loan, that means you met the criteria. That's very close to what the criteria is for SBA loan. So it's just a different type of product.
All fantastic. Of course, every last one of his answers will be fantastic. That's why I picked him. Is everybody saying that? All right, good. That's why. All right, let's see. Other questions? I'm going to, because you put all this in chat, right? So I get to go back. All right, because I'm going to go back and address a lot of it. I'm going to go back and address everything. I'm going to go back and address everything. And they won't be better answers. Remember, I am an investor. And yeah, no, I traditionally do things different. That's the whole point of being an investor. And then when you're someone like Maurice, who has access to the MLS and is a broker and is an investor, well, he's got, you know, two legs over me. Right? I've got two legs. He's got six legs, you know, so he can run much faster than me, right? That's all. It's all good. Who else has a question? Thank you very much, Alicia, for being selfish. Selfish is healthy. Healthy. Put the gas mask on you first.
Yes, yes.
Say yes. Selfish is healthy. Good job. Good job. And I tell you what, since you're approved for $200,000, hey, what's going on? You okay? Hey, no, I'm just joking. All right. All right. Let's see. Who's got a question? Come on. Come on.
So and it's
okay. Grace has a question.
Oh, go ahead.
No. You can comment what you're going to comment, and then we get to the question.
That 200,000, if you're considering, you know, depending on, not sure where you are, that goes further. It goes further in different places, and you know, a lot less further in other places. But wherever you are, that $200,000, if you're looking to invest and put the least amount of money down, use it to invest in a 304 unit. You could do a 4-unit. You know, if you want to, and use that 3.5% down as a 4-unit. And guess what? You can use the income from those 70% of the income from those other 2 or 3 units. So let's say you qualify for 200, right? And you pick a 4-unit as opposed to a 2-unit or 1-unit. Now that 70% of the income that is those three other apartments are generating, now your 200,000 became whatever the math is times 3.
Exactly. So,
and that will put you in a position of being able to speed up your real estate portfolio and your doors, because the key is getting doors and getting the number of doors and having doors that are making money for you while you're sleeping. And every first of the month, that rent is rolling around. And
you know, your answer is so good, you made her start walking around. Cause I
can't. Yeah. Here's the thing with the $200,000. I was like, wow, okay. Well, $200,000, I have to pay that mortgage. But what if I turn it into a business opportunity and make money instead of spending money? And how can I do it? But I was told that I had to be in the
union. Oh my God. Oh my God. Who told you? Oh my God. No, no.
A real estate agent. I reached out to people who supposed to be in the field, and she told me that you have to be in the unit to use that mortgage. So I was like, who want to live with their tenants, basically?
All right, that's all right. Deanna's putting that in the chat for me, so I can come back and address to it. This is Maurice time right now. Okay. Go ahead and respond, brother.
So they told you that you had to be in the unit. This is a single unit, though, right?
Or is this well, I was thinking about a multiple unit, at least two, because I was hoping for the other side to pay for my mortgage. Absolutely. And I live in Memphis, Tennessee. So that's the market.
So you saying you was going to live on one side and then rent the other side out, right?
That's what was suggested to me. That's not what I want to do. But okay. That was suggested for me to make this thing work. That's what I have to do.
Okay. So to the point of, I don't know what that loan is. It does sound like a FHA product. Well, it sounds it sounds like an FHA product in that. That requires for you to be owner occupied for 1 year. For you to owner occupy that unit for 1 year, and that is the case as it relates to that for 1 year. So if you buy a 2-unit, and if the second unit is paying for half of your mortgage, then you put yourself in an advantage, right? So one of the things, the very first book I read was, I can't find this book for nothing. It's called How to Buy Real Estate When You're Broke and Bankrupt.
Right.
And he wrote that book and talked about those things of using that technique to, I think, to depersonalize it for your first property. You know, maybe you might not buy a property where you want to live for the first property. But if you look at it with the idea that, okay, this property is going to pay for the house that I want down the line. So, I mean, you know, and when you're looking at it for investment, it really becomes a business now at that point. So if you can separate the idea of it being a personal, you know, desire as much as it is, you know, a business, because when you add to it that now this is a business for me, then you're taking away, you know, you take a little away from that of it being as personal. So now when I look at the purchase of it, I'm going to not necessarily buy in an area that I would necessarily live in, but is it possible for me to rent there? And am I going to be able to get the amount of rent that I'm trying to obtain in that area?
Okay.
And then, you know, the next one, because you can buy one a year. There's a myth out there that says that you can be a first-time home buyer only one time. That's not true. You know, it is that you don't have an FHA loan for a period of time. So you can do that 97, you can do that 3.5%, and the, is that you don't have two FHA products at the same time. So you can do the 3.5% down as many times as you need to, you know. You know, so there's, and I'm gonna stop there because I don't wanna over, you know, I don't wanna confuse it and make too much.
Thank you. I follow you well. I'm just trying to figure it out because I don't have no money to spend, one, and two, anything out there to be given, I think I should try to get it. So that's my take on it. But okay. I will definitely take
it. Ain't these classes good?
Now, here's another thing. There's every state has down payment assistance money. So you can possibly go and get that. For New Jersey, there's $15,000. For Pennsylvania, I know of $5,000 that I can go and touch. So every state is going to have some down payment assistance money. That's grant money that you don't have to pay back. So reach out for it, and you're going to want to find someone that's a housing counselor. You said, where'd you live? Where you say you live? Memphis?
Yes, Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay, yeah, there is housing counselors there that I definitely know that, that have access to that down payment assistance money. So you want, and the importance of getting with someone that's that industry expert is so invaluable because they know where to find that money, that money that you would, down payment assistance money that you can use. So I think the main thing that I really want to get across is that there's nothing that will stop you from getting a house that should stop you from being able to purchase a home, even if you don't have money. It's the desire. If you met the very first home I bought, I didn't have a dime. I had $1,000 and I had the down payment money and the desire to go and get the rest of it by the time closing. I scheduled a 60-day closing. I was a barber cutting hair. And I'm only saying that the desire, and there's opportunities out there, especially with down payment assistance money that will pay your closing costs. Some of the down payment assistance will even pay that 3.5% for you. They'll allow that. So there's nothing that would or should get in the way of purchasing real estate today. It's just knowing that. And a lot of times when Antonio spoke about the programming, that programming will sometimes have you thinking that it's impossible or not even possible. And it's so much, that's so much not the truth. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Good stuff. Grace asked a question. We'll take the last question from Grace and then I'll start addressing. Oh, Michelle, do you got a question? So we'll take, he answered yours. No. We ain't taking no kind of answers. So we'll go with Grace. What is the best thing to invest in when? He got to address that. There's no way he can address that kind of. What's the best thing to invest in real estate? What's the best thing to invest in when it comes to real estate? Boom.
Best thing to invest in is mixed use property. If you can invest in mixed use property, multiple unit properties, those are the best. I'd say mixed use because that's getting into commercial, requires probably more money down. It's a little bit down the line. It's not, or multifamily. Answered that if that was multifamily, I would say. And making sure every purchase is not an investment. Sometimes you'll see some deals. I think you mentioned one of the deals you put up, that example you gave of Antonio, of someone saying, hey, I'm used to use numbers. Let's say buy this property for $100,000. It's an invest, and I'll tag it investment property because they just wanted to put an investment property on it. And or or it happened in it may be a two unit and you're selling it for $100,000, but it's costing you $1,200 a month, even with the rent you're collecting. That ain't a deal. That's not an investment property. So you want someone that knows how to buy, that's on your team, that's going to buy it in a way that, and the ideal thing is if I need to liquidate tomorrow, if I buy this and close on this property today and I have to sell it tomorrow, am I going to be at least made whole with where I'm at? Not going to always find those deals, but that's part of the work. that we have to put in, you know, when, you know, what we're purchasing or what you're going to buy, you know, finding deals that at least, if nothing more, you're going to be profiting. So the ideal thing is, if you're not making a profit, you know, it goes back to the interviewing and asking the questions, you know, for your audience. And in this case would be the professional, you know, that you're hiring, because that's the audience that, you know, who you're selling what you want. I'm selling to you that I want, you know, I want to buy an investment property that's going to make me some money. So now I need to ask you the questions as the professional. Can you help me accomplish that? So now I need to know, you know, what's your experience in that, you know, and are you selling me today just because you want a commission check, or do you have my best interest, and we doing this 4 times a year ultimately, you know, or doing this at least starting out one a year and then going, you know, and continuing to grow it.
Fantastic. And Michelle G said, how do I get the properties that are abandoned and get them renovated without using my own money?
Okay. Couple good stuff with that. Depending on, like, you know, a lot of, here's another thing too, to qualify the very first answer is in getting started, you know, go to the city meetings and town hall meetings and things in your city and see, because 90% of the times, the things you see going up was planned 10 or 20 years ago. It was on a planning board, and you'll see that stuff was done and on the map 20 years ago. And then you see it and you're like, man, oh, this is happening, but I was already on the map. It's going to be some deviations from it and maybe things changing, right? But there's parts in cities, Detroit's perfect example. If you own a lot in Detroit, or you own a home in Detroit and a lot next door sitting, you know, there's a lot there, you can go get that lot almost for, you know, for a dollar, you know. Why is that? Because you're bringing revenue, what they call ratables, back to the city. You're bringing tax dollars to the city, because now if I put that property in your hands, now guess what? You're responsible for the taxes on it. So it makes sense to me to give you a property that's sitting and ain't making no money and generating any income. And now I'm gonna give it to Alicia, who asked the question? Michelle, I'm gonna give it to you, Michelle. And now you're gonna pay the taxes for the next 4 quarters as they come due. So check out the properties that's in the city. And sometimes the other thing is the credit. A lot of times, don't get stuck up on credit. Don't get hung up as much on credit when we're relating to that, because there's other vehicles and avenues that, you know, sometimes the city will be willing to work with you to get that property in your hands for you to renovate it. Now, what the bank will do, you said, the property's abandoned and get them renovated without using my own money. There's something that's called, let me use this site control, right? As a developer or as someone looking to do development projects, if I get site control as a developer, that's just as good as ownership. So if the city say to me, I'll give you these 3 properties on this beat up block, and this site is a site eyesore on this block, and they give you site control, you can take that and go to the bank, and that's just as good as cash. Wow. So you think that the bank would not have, what is the benefit to them? They're in the bank business of making money. They don't want the property. My business is making money on top of my money, charging you interest. I'm going to charge you 12% interest, and you're going to give me 5 points. I'm just throwing numbers out there. It may not be that high, but you know, you're going to pay for the money, but I'll give it to you. Well, because why? Because I did my due diligence, and I know that the property, that once you're done, if you put that $70,000 into it that I gave you, 70 of that 100 that I gave you into the property is going to be worth 250. So guess what? You can walk away if you want. You did the work for me. Now all I'm gonna do is come in and foreclose on you and take. So, you know, that's one way that you're able to get those properties, build a relationship, I guess, with the city, with those that have it. build a relationship with the, and that's just the properties that may be the city, because not all properties that's abandoned are owned by the city, you know, by the way. So, and again, that's getting with the industry professional that have access and can kind of know how to get to those, or you do it yourself. And in fact, it's all public information. You can go right to City Hall and research any property you want. Go right there to the tax office, give them 123 Mark and Bird Lane. I need to know who the owner is. Is there any back taxes on it? Can you give as much information that, as you can on it? Public information. The city or town will give it to you.
Boom. Come on, y'all. Give this man a round of applause. That's some straight value, right? Some straight value. All right. Let me see if I can match his brilliance. Okay. Alicia, I'm going to address you as well. I'm trying to go in order. First off, I want to frame all of what I'm about to say around two simple understandings. That is one understanding. Businesses will never make you rich. Buying a house will never make you rich. Mm-hmm. And we just want to receive that up front. So the whole question, should I take this loan, put in the business? Don't do that. If you're trying to get rich, if you're trying to have freedom, don't do that. Businesses do not make you rich. Everybody understand what I'm saying? You do not invest into a business and get rich. That is a lie. That is $1 billion of marketing that has told you that. You understand? You do not. Jeff Bezos is not rich because he owns a business. He's rich because he took it public. Those are two different things, okay? Those are two different things. It's basically business. He's in the B and the I quadrant. And all of you homeowners, you're at a strong disadvantage, because you've never known anyone that bought a home and got rich. So right now, I'm already going against the grain already. I'm already going against the grain from what you traditionally taught. I'm hitting in your programming, your cognitive dissonance, and all that good stuff. You've never seen anyone buy a home and get rich. You've just never seen it. This is not going to happen. No one's ever bought a home and got rich, which tells me, don't listen to real estate agents. I'm just going to keep it real with you. When I teach real estate to my people, I'm going to tell you in order what I say. Okay, I got a lot of it, but I'm going to watch when I get to like the fourth or fifth thing. In order, here's what I say. You need to sell a property in 90 days. So when I asked him, what's the first thing you should be focused on and all that good stuff? Right, we said mentor, I said, but right after that, if you're not trying to sell your property in 90 days, you need another goal. Ain't no sense in tying your money up for 3 years, 2 years, 1 year. That's the worst thing you can do, is have $300,000 into a house and it's stuck. And the economy crashed, and now you lose that. And now you got to wait 7 years. Now you sell it for a loss and you get divorced because you made a bad investment, because that's exactly what's going to happen. Right? That's exactly what's going to happen. No. Absolutely, you need to be thinking about selling your house in 90 days. Then you want to get a realtor to start pulling REOs for you, okay, real estate-owned property. You want to get your realtor to start pulling REOs, and you want to get comps, and you want to have certain comps that you're going to be doing. And the case, I still train this, but I don't do it anymore. You're looking for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. If it's not a 2-bath, don't go get it. They sell differently when it's less than a 2-bath. Now, all of you understand, they just do not sell the same way. A 3-bedroom, 1-bath, a 2-bedroom, 1-bath does not sell the same way. It doesn't sell as fast, and you're cutting your profit, okay? A 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath, it's not the same thing. When the realtor pulled the comps, you will find that those places are not moving quickly. You have hyper and super hypermarkets. When I used to buy like this, I don't buy single family anymore, but we'll leave that aside for right now. I never buy anything that's not in a hyper or a super hypermarket. What's a super hypermarket? A super hypermarket is when Maurice pulls the comps for me and he sees let me back to the 3-bedroom, 2-bath. I forgot to give you the square footage, and I'm wrong for that. 3-bedroom, what square footage did I teach you how to get? Was it 2,000? I forget. What's the average square
foot? 1,500.
1,500. There you go. Yeah. 1,500. All right. So 1,500. If you're going to go over, you're trying to go over 150 square feet, not 500, but like 1,650. It's kind of the same as 1,600, 1,500. You're not trying to go over that. You're certainly not trying to go under that. You understand? Because when he pulls 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1,500 square feet, he's pulling the same house every time. Mm-hmm. So the comps are going to be every time. And I'm asking him, Maurice, I want you to find me the areas where these houses are moving in 30 days. That's a super hyper market. Mm-hmm. 30 days. Period, point blank, 30 days. I want these joints moving in 30 days. See, remember, I'm an investor. I don't benefit. Remember he said the banks don't benefit? I benefit by having my money make money. I love hard money loans because I frequently give them out. So if y'all don't want to lose your money, you got a good deal, I give you a hard money loan. I'm taking 50% of the profit because that's normal. But please know that, yeah, I like hard money. I ain't got no problem with you ain't want to use your own money. I'm first money in, first money out. I'm first lien holder. So if you ruin the deal, don't worry about it. I'll just take 100% of my money now. I just, you know, it's all good, right? 30 days is what I want. Now that it's after 30 days, I'm looking for, you know, and I want to see if 3 houses have moved in 30 days. I want 3 different comps, and I want to be in the middle. I don't want to have, let's say, well, I'm going to talk Texas talk, okay? Average medium household in Texas is $225,000. Adonia don't even know what that means. Because a $25,000 house in California is a $1 million house. Let's just, yeah. But $225,000 is what I'm looking for on the medium. And I got a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. It's sold for, I got one of them that sold for $178,000. I have one of them that sold for $297,000, and I have one that sold for $189,000. I am not under any circumstances on an after retail value or after repair value try to sell this for $290,000. That's way too far out. That's an outlier. It's too far out. They'll teach you to average all 3 of those numbers. I'm not even going to tell you. I'm going to tell you, you better take that $178,000 and that $189,000 and average those two. And just ignore that third $297,000. Okay, this is the first thing I'll teach. Now watch it. Here's what I'm recap. I don't know. I just taught you to get your house in 90 days. Get your Maurice to pull the comps. Look at the comps. And the fourth thing I'm telling you off top is train your realtor.
True.
Straight up, the fourth thing I'm telling you. Is train your realtor. Do not trust real estate agents, okay? Now, I'm not telling you nothing bad about them, but I'm gonna tell you 2 things from an investor standpoint that makes me leery about agents. If Maurice was an agent, he would not be teaching this class with me. For one, all agents get an asset and give it away. You already lost my trust right there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even speak the same language. Alicia, your conundrum was, what's the best way I could hold on to my $200,000, right? So you're not even, so you, when your agent told you something, now in FHA, you got to do something, right? I get that. But y'all don't speak the same language. You're trying to hold on to your $200,000 and make it $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
They trying to get $200,000 and get 3% commission. We don't even speak the same language. So I can't take your advice. You understand? I just can't do that. The reason I said find a mentor is because now I want to get with Maurice. I'm going to say, hey, Maurice, what do you think that I should be doing? He's going to ask me a bunch of questions, interview me, and say, okay, this is how I want to do it. And he's going to teach me how to tell my realtor this is what I'm looking for. For instance, my realtor, her name is, what's her name? Melissa. Knows, don't even show me nothing that's less than 60 days. I mean, that's more than 60 days. I don't even want to see it. I don't even want to see it. Now, we got a little conundrum here because now I've moved into commercial and she can't go over there right now. So I'm trying to figure out something with that, you know, to keep her involved. Nevertheless, fourth thing I'm teaching you is do not run out there and let your agent advise you. Train your agent.
True.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Train your agent completely, period, point blank, because you need to be the subject matter expert. You need to be using their expertise in the way you want to use it. Their expertise don't need to be guiding your investments. First off, they got no money in the game.
Absolutely.
You do not take the advice of someone that only benefits from your deal but will not lose. Don't do that. You do not take advice from someone that's only going to benefit when you win but won't lose when you lose.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. Don't do that. And just the mere fact that we don't speak the same language. If you're getting assets that make you free and then you give them away to people like me, you can't mentor me whatsoever. We do not speak the same language. I'm not telling you that's wrong. I'm just telling you realtors ought to deal with realtors. I'm going after freedom. If me and Maurice do a deal, he know it's millions of dollars off top. I can't even see nothing else. We talking about $897,000 down. If that, it might be more than that. But you understand what I'm saying? We ain't even talking about flipping. We holding on to this. We looking at 6% of our rent a year be something like $300,000 a piece. That's a realistic return. It's a 6%. And we want 6% to bring back 300,000. That means it'd be looking at a 500 unit apartment complex. You understand what I'm saying? Something like that. Now, Let me address all these questions real quick. Now that I told you, businesses don't make you rich and houses don't make you rich. And it's the truth. They just do not make you rich. You say, I want to buy and sell without my money. Always not use your money. Okay. However, that works. Well, it works all the time, but it just depends on what, I don't know how to address this without saying it the way I really want to say it. I want to tell you my goal for you. I personally wouldn't do anything without $250,000 personally. That would be the goal. So if I'm broke right now, I would buy and sell. So I would even use hard money loan and I would take $20,000 profits and save them until I got to $250,000 and I would immediately go to multifamily. I would only stay in, buy and hold, fix and I wouldn't even go and buy and hold first. I wouldn't even go for passive income first. Why would you not go for passive income first? Because the way you're going to do that is going to take too long. Remember, freedom is what I'm going for.
True.
I don't want a nickel and dime. You know, I don't want to have 200 houses that bring me in $2 million a month. Actually, that's actually quite incredible. So 200 houses bring me in $20,000 a month. Okay. That's more realistic. Okay. Right. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to have that. That's 200 transactions. I want one transaction with 200 families bringing me in $20,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different game. Now go get 200 of those. Now you're famous. Even if you're trying to be private, you got paparazzi following you around, Googling and put your net worth on the internet without your permission. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now she addressed, he told her to get a duplex, right? And you live in one, you got the FHA, right? You do it for you. Absolutely wise advice. I would tell you do a fourplex.
Absolutely. Agree.
Yeah. Have three of those people pay your whole mortgage so you live for free. Forget half.
part of your next place, wherever you're going to.
Ain't that the truth, right? Part of your next place where you're going to. So I would go for a fourplex, sixplex, because you don't need to, don't try to pay it off.
Mm-mm.
Do not take your $200,000 and try to pay off the sixplex, the eight. You could probably get an eightplex. Well, yeah, Tennessee ain't too. Let's just say six, 4 to 6. You can do that with $200,000 down. You're gonna put on. He said you're gonna put on your 3.5%, your 9% closing cost. You win 12.5%, but you're gonna let those five people in this case, because you got to live in one of them. You're gonna let them pay off your rent and your mortgage at the same time, and give you surplus. So now you cash flowing, and you go back to the bank in a year and say, I want another one. Look how well I've been paying y'all on time. I ain't never missed a payment.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this collateral. I want to use this sixplex as collateral. Now give me more money. Then go say, Alicia, you looking real good today. Here's some more money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you take that and you go buy a 12 one. Now, all of you, listen to me, because I want you to be careful about sixplexes and 12-plexes. In her case, do that. But after you do that, if it's easy to get, it's easy to lose.
True.
If you can get something, if you can get a six, you can lose it. All it takes is 3 renters to walk out. That's it. All it takes is 3 of them at one time. Now you only got 50% of your rent. And if you live there, now you only got 33% of your rent. And multifamily units are not appraised by like the pretty stuff you do to it. It's appraised on cash flow. And no doubt. And you being in one, you automatically ruined, right? That appraisal for a year. Like, real talk. And it kills me when I see people using, like, and I can't fathom why people would put, y'all do me a favor, do not put somebody in your apartment, let them live there for free or at a discount so you take and collect your rent money. Don't do that. You're losing your cash flow and you're losing your network where you can borrow against it. Just stop being cheap and go get a property manager.
Absolutely. You know, and that property manager does way more than just collect rent for you. The presence of a property manager being a part of the transaction is a bigger deterrent, because when a person knows, and a lot of times landlords are, you know, like you just said, okay, I'll let this tenant collect rent for me and you pay $450 instead of $650. You've already cut into your profit. And see, one of the other things what a real property manager is, and at the core of all real estate professionals, what they should be doing is, and not all real estate professionals are not created equal, and all property managers are neither. So what they should be doing at the core is enhancing your value. Then you hire a property manager and they take your property, it should be increasing in value. It should be looking, he should be suggesting, they should be suggesting ways that you're going to be able to increase. You got a whole big space in the basement that you're doing nothing with. They should be suggesting that you're going to put some coin-operated laundry machines down there. If you're in the area, maybe you can put Red Box might be a stretch.
Vending machine, something
in there that's going to generate more income for you.
And the more income you got coming in is the more you can borrow against the bank.
That's exactly the point.
Yep.
Because if you take that $450, it took you just hit your debt, your income. You just hit it. So, and one of the things to your point, what you said is, what's the worst thing I see is walking into a property that I'm getting ready to assess or evaluate for managing is the landlord that didn't increase the rents. Mm. Or, well, I didn't, they were good tenants and I just didn't want to, raise the rent on them. You don't even realize that you just shot yourself in the foot by $100,000, $200,000, because now I got to begin to do that and gradually get you to where you could have been at had you raised it 2%. You ain't got to do 4%. Most places is between 4-5% if it's not rent control. Just raise it 1%. Just raise it every year because it increases. All that goes to your value of your property after you need to do something if you want to tap into it, because it becomes a checkbook for you if you do it right. It becomes that opportunity for you to go and buy another property if you do it right.
Which makes you more bankable.
That's right.
And if you're bankable, you're automatically grantable.
That's right.
So if you're bankable and grantable, now you can make these statements, I don't want to use my money.
Mm-hmm.
You can go and use the bank money, and you ain't got to worry about credit. Because if the numbers work and it's multifamily, ain't nobody running your credit.
Mm-mm. The deal won't work. Now, to your point about, you said that the multi, that the 300 units, you know, I had made a phone call to one of these where the, now we're in the, you know, we're in 2020 right now, right? The beginning of a new year. So these funds is being replenished right now. A lot of individuals were starting to put their proposals together in November and December for funding that's coming up this year. A lot of times you get the funding for money for next year, you start to do it, right? Now, I'm just want to put out there that there's financing and money available that don't require your credit, don't require for you to have that, like, just, I guess, really take out the mindset of I can't or I'm not able to do this because I don't have good credit. I'm not able to, none of that, just, you know what I mean? Just none of that, like, don't even, like, let that, you know, hold on to that and leave it right there for a second, because there's, when I first heard about the funding and money that's available to some of the question you asked about getting real estate, abandoned properties, right? There's funds that are available because this country have never addressed the low income question. That's always out there still. So what you're able to do with the right proposal is to put together a proposal that would allow you to be able to buy up, you know, properties with the right proposal without having having to have excellent credit. So I want to mention is I reached out to a person. I had a project lined up, had talked to the city, had site control lined up and everything the city was going to give me. They had started out with 74 units. I asked for every last one of them, you know, and so it was 74 they started out with. It was originally 94, they down to 74. By the time we finished, we was down to like 34, and they was going to consider me for two to four of them. There were sites that I picked from these two sites, but they were going to give me site control. And when I reached out to where the financing was for it, they said, and I'm thinking, I'm saying something, you know, hey, $3 million project, by the time we're done, it's going to be $5 to $8 million. They said, yeah, you can go to a bank for that. We only do a minimum of $5 million. We start at $5 million. And I'm just saying that to say that, you know, in these projects and would require for it to be, it was going to be either a 5 to 10 unit with some commercial on the bottom, mm-hmm. you know, with, so that was going to put in, and what the proposal was for, okay, we understand that sometimes the down payment may be an issue. You give me those lots. If you give them to me for free, I'm going to give it back to the buyer. We're going to put $10,000 on top of the, as a down payment assistance for that person trying to purchase the property. If I have to pay for it, then I'm going to take the $10,000 back. And then they have to come. So what's better for you as a city is property that's sitting there. How about let's get people in this properties, give them a $10,000 incentive, and then give the property to us to do it. And then once you have the property, then you're going to go to the bank because they're into it. For you putting this proposal together, this is going to be a $7, $8 million project. After you're done, they're going to give you the money to build it out, give you the money to do all of what you need to do to build out, and everybody wins. Like Phil said, you know, about what it is, the right situation. In the words he said, it's so succinct about putting together something that's mutually agreeable for everybody, yeah. you know, that works for everybody. That scenario for that case. So I just wanted to put that out there,
nice.
So that you know that is available, man. You know, and it's there.
No doubt. And of course, y'all shouldn't be buying none of this stuff in your name.
Absolutely
none of it, right? But we'll cover that another day. But you shouldn't be buying none of this in your name. None of it. Because that means they can sue you. All right? Let me just address a few more things with land this plane. Owner financing, he brought that up about holding papers. He already explained how that just means that someone becomes the bank. Typical return of interest rate, on a deal like that would be 10%. That's normal. OK, Okay, so don't confuse Alicia's 3.5 with owner financing. It is quite normal to, if I'm the bank, then I am allowed to charge you more interest because I'm taking all the risk. Now, if you miss a payment and if you default on your agreement, please expect for me to tell you thank you for all your donations. Okay. Yeah, because you're not getting your money back and you cannot get this property. You understand? Mm-hmm. And here's a good thing. One of the first ways, so I'm going to tell you the first way I bought my property. I'm going to tell you the first way I helped someone get theirs. And I never told the second one, the first one I get there. I never told this out loud. Me too. I didn't. My first property I bought for $1. Mm-hmm. It was a duplex. And hurricane came through and gutted out the bottom. And I had $12,971. And I put that into rehab to fix that bottom. Well, actually, I had to fix the top because the roof fell in. But I spent it for $1 because the lady just flat out didn't want it. The family was tripping. Mm. And she couldn't legally give it to me. And I'm not kidding. The first property I bought, I went to Office Depot. I am so not kidding. Mm. Secretary of State. I went to the Secretary of State website. I spent $1 for a name search. I spent $300 to register Smith Cousin Properties, LLC. You can look it up if you want to. I'm not even joking. Okay? I did that, and then I went to Office Depot. I had no lawyers, no nothing. I went to Office Depot, and I went bought their deed. Because of Blake, it was $9.99 for 10 of them. Mm-hmm. I went to GCAD.org. It's Galveston County Appraisal District.org or whatever it is now. And I went and got all the proper address to put on the deed. Then I took that deed to the Galveston County Courthouse up to the third floor. I gave them $27. They transferred the deed in my, I went out of steps. Then I went to Bank of America because they wanted me to get it notarized. I took the lady down with me, took it to Bank of America, let them notarize it, and I didn't even have an account at Bank of America. Then I went to Galveston County Courthouse, gave them $27.92, transferred the deed in my name. I bought that home. Mm. Just like that. Mm. I'm not even joking. That's way too much detail for me to be lied, right? Like, I'm dead serious. Bought that home, rented it. I still, to this day, own that property.
Wow.
To this day. I did that in 2008. Uh-huh. I did that in 2008. Why do you think I always got so much money? Anyway, yeah, 2008. I did that in 2008. Real deal, Holyfield. Real spill, I'm telling you. Now, one of my uncles, 121 Brown Street, took 121 Brown Street. The property was appraised at $18,000, whatever, it was crap, and hadn't been appraised for a while. The owner financed, the lady held the papers. I gave her $2,000 down. She charged me 10% interest and $800 a month. I was paying way too much for the property, but don't worry about that. Either way, it was good for me because what I did was I charged my uncle for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, $1,000 a month for a house. I only wanted $200 after my stuff, okay? Of course, the $800 was all the tax title, you know, all the insurance, all the stuff combined. Let him pay 12 months on time payments. Mm. Showed the bank that he paid on time. Told the bank he is able to pay this. Then I skipped a step. The lady held the note. She held the deed, right? All that stuff. And I put myself in the middle to where when we sold it to my uncle for $53,000, how much did I have in the property? $2,000. Somebody ain't hear me. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. I only got $2,000 in as a 51,000 profit, and I ain't paying the lady.
Come on, man.
12 months on time payments because he didn't have the credit to fix it, but I didn't need that. I just needed him to never be late for 12 months. Went back to Bank of America in 2009. Showed them that he could pay it. They cut me a check. I paid off the lady her $18,000. And then I kept the difference between $53,000 and $18,000. I only had $2,000 in.
Come on, now. Yeah.
Did that make sense, Maurice?
Mm-hmm. Perfect sense.
That is legal. That is ethical.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's business. Another way to get around. That's business, man. That's another way to get around credit. Another way. Yes, you can use credit card loans. I mean, you can use credit cards. Now, if you're moving houses every 30 days, I mean, every 30 days, 60 days, you're good. If you're going to use your credit card for down payments, then obviously you got a $20,000 limit, like Adonia. She got 12 of those. She got 12 cards with $20,000 limits. And then I don't know. I'm just putting her business out of it. I'm putting her fake business out there, y'all. Dude, I don't know this stuff for real, right? But I'm pretty sure she got something. She looked like she got her 800 credit score, don't she? The curls just curl like an 800, you know? Yeah, exactly. You got your $20,000. You need to put, you know, $13,000. Expect your score to go down once you do that. You don't care. Because you're going to buy when your score is up. You're going to swipe the card. It's going to go down the next month. Then you're going to flip that in 30 days, sell that, then pay off the card, and do it again. So now your credit card literally becomes a business card. I've done deals like that too. You get it? Just every other month, or every 60 days, you're up, down, up, down. Who cares? Because you only need your credit in the up months.
Exactly.
you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Terrible advice for a financial advisor, a great advice for an investor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think there was one more thing here. How do I get properties abandoned in my name? I have no answer for that. He gave a great answer for that. That is not my lane. So I stay out of that lane right there. And then not quite 800. Okay. It's 798. You know, she paid off a credit card too early and they dinged her. You know, she got a zero balance. That's what happened. Let's see. Nick's properties. Okay. He put that there. Okay. That's me talking. Memphis, Tennessee. I think I've addressed everything that was said. Yep, I think that's it. So won't you, Maurice, give us some final words and close us out, advice, and we'll come back next Tuesday, do it all over.
One of the things that I took away, the first thing that's coming to me now is something that's heard often is being present, you know, in it. And what I just heard you break down was being present in every transaction, because there's no two transactions alike. One of the first things I teach all the agents, and when I train the agent, any agent, or even in the real estate class when I teach them, there's no cookie cutter deal, and every investor is different. So you have to be present with that individual, because people don't want to be sold for whatever reasons. So if I come across to you as cookie cutter and I'm putting on you what Antonio's goals are for his investment, you're going to hear it, because you're not going to hear me, because it's not with what. So just be present, just being present with each transaction, I think was the one point that I really wanted to make. And, you know, just thank you for the opportunity to share. It's just share. I'm grateful to be able to share of what I know, and anything I have is yours. I just want to be able to give to, give and help you to be better in any way that I can offer that for you to be able to be better and to be successful at that.
I appreciate that. We're going to do this every Tuesday, y'all. Okay. Y'all will see in your access, you'll see a spot that you already have, no charge to you. It'll start saying ATS Real Estate, and all these classes will go there. One thing I want to address is something that Donya put in chat a while ago. Licensed people are taught real estate as if we're employees. Facts, because they are. They are employees, okay? Do not get it twisted. They are employees. There is nothing about a real estate agent that is self-employed, and there's nothing about a real estate agent that is not an employee. The very essence of the position is an employee with the illusion of being self-employed or an owner.
True.
That being said, they're specialized employees, and that's why they can make a lot of money. Use their specialties. Do not let their specialties become your mentor. Mm-hmm. Antonio T. Smith Jr., you can plant better. You can dominate. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Maurice. We killed that, brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate y'all. Thank you very much. See you next time.
Hey, everybody. You may not know it, but you probably not subscribed to my videos. I appreciate you for even making me a community. Team ATS, we are here. There are three things that I am accomplishing and changing the world, or at least aiding to change the world. Here's thing number one. Every single time that you watch one of these videos and every single time you subscribe, you help boost this community and help me give out a whole lot more information for free. Another thing that you're doing, and this is probably most important, you help me pay for salaries, okay? Team ATS, the minimum wage for Team ATS, the people who work here, are $22 an hour. That's pretty cool, right? Every time that you subscribe, buy something from me, or now I'm going to ask you to go to my Patreon page and give a donation. That could be $1 a month, $3 a month, $5 a month, or if you like me, $25,000 a month. I appreciate you who's going to do that. 100% of every donation that comes through goes to salaries or video production, which is the second thing. You know, look, this is 4K content, right? All this stuff costs money. So instead of me taking money from people, what I'm doing is I am literally creating salaries and using this money for production and more salaries. I don't use the money for me. I am literally helping people, bringing people out of poverty. I specialize. I am so excited about group economics that I typically hire people with felonies or need a second chance, or someone, the daughter is 15 years old and need insulin. I love those kind of people because they're hungry and they need an opportunity. So please go to Patreon. Okay, go over there. Go over there right now. Over. I'm not sure where my editing team is going to put it. It could be over here. Could be. Click one of these things. You understand? Go over there and do a donation. Now, that's if you can. If you can't, don't worry about it. Just set me to see first, put on the notifications, click that alert bell if you're on YouTube, however you find me, and you'll be helping that way. But if you have a dollar to spare, $5 to spare, $10 to spare, I promise you, you'll be aiding people in salaries. Let's stay together. Now, if you're on the same vibration with me, if you're trying to raise the higher consciousness of this world, if you believe, if you be faithful to the few, you'll become rulers over many. If you vibrate at that frequency, let's be faithful. Let's, you know, give a dollar or two. Let's help somebody else so the universe can help us. I really appreciate you. Team ATS is in the building to stay. A third thing that I'm doing, because I promise you three, is I've actually started my own Oprah Winfrey Network, but ATS Network. So expect to see a whole lot more content. Expect me to start paying content providers and content creators. Expect me to give people a platform where they can get paid for their videos. I really appreciate you. I'm so grateful for you. Let's make this community one of the most popular and one of the most paid communities so we can pay others. I give you my word, 100% of the money that's drawn from these videos goes to creating salaries or upgrading equipment. Antonio T. Smith Jr., you can plant better. You can dominate. I have failed so much in life. I've been so evil. I've done everything in life to mess it up. And I have. I have completely messed this life up. And then I changed. And then I start applying things that I didn't know, but I always knew. You call it the law of attraction. Or maybe you don't. Or maybe you're religious and maybe you're not. Here is what I know. I know that we all have a karmic debt to pay off. And I have either paid mine off
or almost off. And now I dedicate my entire life to you. Please know that as my life is dedicated to you, it means I get beat up a lot. But that's what this is about. It is about people like me putting their gains at risk for you. The crazy thing about life is once we get enough, whatever enough means, if you're a politician, it's enough votes, someone likes money, whatever enough is, a pastor, enough members, we tend to protect it. This podcast is not about protection, it is about you. I sincerely believe in you. I know you're going to be it. I know you're going to do it. Whatever that is for you, there are no mistakes. I want you to share this podcast, but not for personal gain. I want you to share it because I am giving you my every being. Give away me, and then you give away you. I lower me so you can stand on my shoulders, and then you return the favor and you lower yourself so someone else will stand on your shoulders, and then voila. No one is lower than the other because we've all lowered ourselves. Finally, the music in this podcast that you're going to hear, I hope it gets stuck in your head. It's actually from my favorite movie, Cloud Atlas. It's a cover, it's not the original version, but it sounds just like it. Cloud Atlas is a great movie by the Wachowskis. My second favorite movie is The Matrix, but that has nothing to do with this right now. It is about repeating the same mistakes. And so I'm hoping subconsciously that as you repeat the same mistakes, Cloud Atlas is mostly about ascending from those mistakes. So I'm hoping the words, the music, the melody, everything helps you ascend to where you're supposed to be, which is where you've always agreed you want to be before you got here. I love you. This is the Secret to Success, Law of Attraction. Really, really know that this will be a blessing, a lifesaver to many people. Antonio T. Smith Jr., you can't plan better. You can dominate. When the pandemic began, I had the biggest problem in the world, not making money. The pandemic was actually quite a blessing for me, as it almost made me a billionaire. I came really close. So the pandemic was a blessing. It was hiring people. And get this, everybody. I had 48 job positions open during the pandemic. $22 an hour with paid training. And I could not find a single person for 2 years to fit any of those 48 job positions. Hear me well. 48 job positions, $22 an hour, paid training, and I couldn't find someone, not one person, for those job positions. Now, is it because I hire slowly? True, but it's because I wasn't using ZipRecruiter, and that's a fact. I wasn't getting to the right people for the right position to fit my right culture. And there are so many different things that you can do this summer. As a matter of fact, you can free up as much time as you want to. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're probably not going to free up that time if you're attempting to hire people. So what is ZipRecruiter? What is probably the greatest job finder that's out there? And that's why you need ZipRecruiter. You need it so you can find the right candidates. Now, it's not that ZipRecruiter helps you find jobs. It's more accurately that ZipRecruiter
takes your culture, takes your job, takes what you're looking for, and immediately matches them with the perfect candidate. And if they can't find a perfect candidate, they will skip over that person and then give you the perfect candidate for you. ZipRecruiter uses one of its most powerful tools, which is the technology itself, to match the right candidates up with your job. You can easily review their recommendations and easily review their recommended candidates and invite these candidates to apply for your top positions. Additionally, ZipRecruiter has a complete suite of tools that makes it easy for you to filter out, review, and rate candidates. 4 out of 5 employees have been used by 4 out of 5 employers on ZipRecruiter. It is a blessing. And no wonder ZipRecruiter is rated #1 hiring site in the world based on G2 satisfaction ratings as of this year, January 1st. My friends, soak up everything I said. It's not an ad. This is a personal testimony of how I found the right people to sit in the right seat on the right bus. Without ZipRecruiter, it wouldn't have been possible. So how do you take advantage of what I'm talking about? Well, you go to ZipRecruiter.com/B2B. All spelled the regular way. That's Zip, Z-I-P, Recruiter, R-E-C-R-U-I-T-E-R, ZipRecruiter.com/B2B. And I promise you, you will be grateful that you did so. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/B2B. It's also in the show notes.